Cologne, come in. Oh, over there.
Oh. But darling, after all your assurances that you love and trust me, here you are half crying while I'm so overjoyed. You haven't changed your mind, have you?
Oh, no, Valère. I feel just the same about you. In fact, it's more than I can bear. Oh, how will it all turn out? Valère, I fear perhaps I'm too much in love with you.
Nonsense. What is there to fear?
Any number of things. My father will be so angry, and my family. Everyone, in fact. But most of all, I'm afraid that you might change your mind.
Elise,
so many men today just play at love.
Elise, how could you possibly judge me by the standards of others?
Oh, you all talk the same way. Are you really going to be any different?
Oh, how to convince you, Elise. Only by carrying out the plans I have in mind for us both. But I beg you, don't judge me by other people. Only give me time to show you in a thousand ways how much I love you.
Yes, Valère, when you're in love with someone, then words are very plausible. And I don't believe that you would try and deceive me. Oh, yes, I believe you love me. Oh, forgive my apprehension.
Now, what about your other worries?
There would be no need to worry if everyone saw you as I do. For one thing, my heart will always be full of gratitude towards you. I can never forget that frightful ordeal we went through, that you rescued me from the shipwreck. You risked your life to save mine. And how you first said you loved me. And now you've even disguised yourself as my father's servant in order to be with me. Well, you can't imagine what all this means to me. And to me it completely justifies the secret understanding we've made with each other. But all this won't mean anything to other people. And I feel they won't understand.
Well, I'd rather you forgot about the shipwreck and loved me just for myself. And as for your father, he seems only too ready to ride roughshod over his children. And he's such an old miser that life at this home could easily produce stranger tales than that of you and me.
Valère.
Oh, if only I could find my parents, we would have no difficulty in winning him over. If I don't hear anything soon, I'll have to leave Paris and go to Naples to look for them myself.
Oh, Valère, please don't go. Just try and keep in my father's good books.
Well, you see how I've been getting on up to now. All the flattery I had to resort to get myself a job here to be with you. When I think of all the double talk I've had to employ with him. Yes, master. No, master. Is there anything else, master? It's worked up to now, and I have to admit that to win people over, there's nothing like pandering to their whims, agreeing with all they say, and smoothing over their faults. I just have to be careful not to overdo it. And it's a pity I have to employ so much insincerity in the job. And after all...
Oh, listen. My brother Cléante is coming. Why don't you let him into our secret?
Oh, well, it wouldn't be easy to manage father and son. They're so different.
Elise.
No, you try and enlist your brother. You're very close to each other. Oh, talk to him now if you can, but be careful. Let it out a bit at a time.
Oh, my God. I really don't know if I have the courage to talk to Cléante.
Oh. Elise, you're alone. I'm so glad. I've something I simply must tell you.
Tell me, what is it?
Oh, Elise, there is so much to tell. I'm in love.
In love?
Yes, in love. But before I go into details, I must remind myself that I am dependent on my father. And I can't go pledging myself to someone without his agreement. After all, he does exercise authority over us.
Yes.
And we must remember, too, that our parents, being rather less motivated by momentary whims and fancies, are perhaps wiser in these matters. Now, all this may sound rather odd, but I'm saying it rather than have you say it to me first. Elise, I'm so much in love, I don't think I could listen to reasoning from anyone, even you.
Well, have you come to an understanding with the girl you're in love with?
No, but I intend to.
Okay.
And please don't try and dissuade me. I won't listen.
But why should I?
Well, simply because you're not in love.
Oh.
You don't understand the effect of love on a person's heart. And the voice of common sense becomes nonsense in such a situation.
Oh, please don't talk about common sense, for heaven's sake. Perhaps I have less of it than you.
What exactly do you mean by that?
Well...
You can't possibly mean that...
No, never mind for the moment. Tell me about her.
Well, I'm in love with a girl who has come to live nearby just recently.
Yes?
If only I could paint her for you. I fell in love with her at first sight. She's called Marianne. And she lives with her mother, who's nearly always ill, and needs a good deal of looking after, and Marianne spends her whole time doing just that. She faces up to this task with such courage and tenderness. Every hour puts me more and more under her spell. Such beauty, such honesty, such... Oh, if only you could meet her, Elise.
I hardly need to. You describe her so well. And if you love her, that's enough for me.
I've discovered that they're not at all well off. In fact, they hardly make ends meet. Well, you can imagine how wonderful it would be to help them a little with this and that.
Mm.
And yet, here I am, bound hand and foot by my skinflint of a father, who's so tight-fisted I can't lift a finger to express to this girl how much I love her.
Yes, Cléante, but please keep your voice down. I know exactly how you feel.
Do you really? Is there any father who exercises such meanness with his children as ours? Is there any home so ill-kept and bare? And what's the good of all his money if we can't enjoy it sometimes? And if you and I have to live off our creditors in order to dress at all well, just look at us.
Yes.
Anyway, I've decided to let you into my secret so that we can exercise some joint pressure on Father.
Oh.
And if this doesn't work, I'll leave home.
No.
And I'll take the girl with me and we'll seek our future elsewhere.
Cléante!
I've just been trying to find someone who'll lend me some money.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm successful, I'll carry out my threat.
Oh.
And if you're trying to tell me that you're in the same situation, I'll take you with me.
Oh.
Well, is it right that we should have to put up with this tyrant for a moment longer?
Ever since our mother died, he's got worse and worse. And...
Yeah, oh. Get out and quick!
Talk of the devil, here he is.
Yeah,
carry off Arrow Swift again. It was my servant, damn it.
Yeah.
I'd rather we carried on our conversation elsewhere. Come on, let's go. When we've laid our plans, we'll come back to the attack.
Get out at once! Get out of here and don't answer back!
Yes,
go on, clear off, oh. Harold Swift. You swindler, you jailbird, you.
I don't think I've ever seen a more disagreeable man. He's the devil in disguise.
What's that you say? Don't mumble.
Pardon me, Monsieur Harpagon, but why exactly have I got to leave?
I'm the one who asks the questions round here in my own house. Go on, shoot.
But, sir, what's the matter?
Just get out.
But my master, your son, Monsieur Cléante, told me to wait.
Well, wait outside, in the street. Not stand about here like a sentry spying on everybody. I'm besieged by traitors. Trying to pry into my affairs and hoping to get their fingers on a thing or two. Thieves, everyone!
Thieves? But there's nothing to steal. Or if there is, you're always there, counting the keys carefully in case any of them get into the wrong hands.
Keys are for locking things up. And if I want anything under lock and key, then that's where it goes. Spies, spies everywhere. I wonder if he's found out where the money is. I say, Arrowswift, you wouldn't be the sort of man who spread a rumor that I've got some money hidden away, would you?
Oh? You got some money hidden away, have you?
No, no, I didn't say that. Found the man. No, no, I just meant you wouldn't spread a false, malicious rumour around, now would you?
Well, whether you got money or not, we never see any of it.
You watch your tongue. Don't chop words with me. I'll box your ears. Go on, I've already told you once to get out.
All right. I'm going.
Just a minute. What have we got there?
Got? Where?
Come here. Come on. Let me see. Show me your hands.
There.
Now the other two.
The other two?
Yes.
But I've only got two and you've seen them.
Huh? Oh. Well, there's something up your sleeves.
Here, look for yourself.
And these breeches of yours.
Hey?
Ah.
Hey?
They're just right.
Here.
Stop something. Made just for the purpose,
sir,
I bet.
Well, if they were, I'd be glad to use them to good purpose. Miser.
What's that?
What, Monsieur Harpagon?
You said something about misers.
Yes. I said, the devil take them.
Who?
Misers.
What do you mean?
I mean what I say.
And what do you say?
Yeah, but I was only talking to myself, sir.
If you carry on like this, you will find that my actions speak louder than your words.
I was only condemning misers. Anything wrong with that?
No, of course not. But I won't have your insolence. You understand, you young rogue?
I assure you, sir, I mention no names.
Oh, hold your tongue and be off.
Wait a minute, sir. There's a pocket here you haven't had a good dig through.
Oh, where? Come on, don't waste my time. Hand over what you've taken.
But you've been all over me. There's nothing.
You sure? Well, go to the devil.
I might as well stay here.
Go on, get out. Guilty, writ all over your forehead. Get out before I read between the lines. Huh. Oh, why do I keep all my money at home? What a constant source of worry it is. I really ought to get it invested. Just keep enough for everyday expenses. And not too many of those, either. Oh, one day I'll find a really safe place to hide it. I think I'd rather have it near me. Bankers? Oh, thieves. All of them. Just like that fox I don't swift. And anyway, that's just where the robbers start looking. Banks are the worst place. Even so, those 10,000 crowns in gold I collected yesterday would perhaps be safer somewhere else than buried in the garden. The garden. Let's have a look. Ah, no. Nobody there. All quiet. 10,000 crowns. Not a bad sum. And yet the garden isn't perhaps the right place at all. Oh, heavens. Here come Elise and Cleopatra. I'm giving myself away. They must have overheard. Why do I yap to myself so loudly? Well, what do you want?
Nothing, Father.
Have you been there long?
No, we've just come in.
Did you hear?
What was that?
What I,
What you what?
What I was saying.
No.
I'm sure you did.
I assure you, Father.
Oh, you must have. You must have heard me saying how hard it is to get hold of any money these days. And how fortunate it would be to have something like 10,000 crowns.
Oh, no, Father. We were most reluctant to interrupt you.
Yes.
Oh, just as well. I don't want you thinking that I have 10,000 crowns.
No, indeed. We don't want to pry into your affairs.
No.
Yes, 10,000 would be very useful.
Father!
And I wouldn't always complain how bad things are, you see.
Oh, Father, you have no reason to complain. We all know you've plenty put away.
Plenty put away? That's lies, all lies. A rumor spread by some evil scamp.
Father, please don't get angry.
A fine thing, my own children, my enemies.
Enemies? But, Father, I only said...
Then, yes, I know what you said. It's enough to have all the ruffians in Paris breaking in to cut my throat, thinking that I'm rolling in it. Anyway, you don't help the way you carry on. Spend, spend, spend.
Spend? Spend what?
Spend? Well, look at you. Look, there's this outfit you're wearing. What? I was complaining about the extravagance of your system. Of you! I've never seen such a get-up. It's quite disgraceful. What do you think you're doing, trying to ape the gentry? You must be getting your fingers on my money somehow.
My fingers on your money?
Well, where else could you have got enough for an outfit like that?
I just happen to be lucky at cards sometimes. And I have to use my winnings to buy myself some clothes.
But that's not the way to use your winnings. Put it out at interest. But just look at you. All those fancy ribbons. Won't pins do? And wigs. What do you want wigs for? What's wrong with your own hair that grows free? Just think. Wigs and ribbons. A good 200 francs. And at 8%, that's worth having.
Very true.
Well, never mind about that now. There's something else I want to mention.
Don't tell him, yes.
What are they whispering about? And plots to rob me, I'll be bound.
Father.
Yes?
We both have something to say. We were just trying to decide who should speak first. You see, we...
We both...
Want to...
To talk about...
Getting...
Getting married.
Married.
Oh. Good, good. That's what I want to talk about.
Father!
What's all the shrieking about? What's frightening about the word?
Well, it could be rather an unhappy subject if our feelings about it aren't yours.
Now, wait a moment. Don't get worked up unnecessarily. I'm the one who knows what's best. Now, I assure you, you'll have nothing to complain about in all this.
Oh, Father, why don't you sit down?
Yes.
Well, now... Let's begin at the beginning. Have you, by any chance, seen a young wench who lodges just round the corner called Marianne?
Why, yes,
Father.
And have you?
I have heard her name mentioned.
Ah. And how does she seem to you, my boy?
Why, altogether charming.
What do you think of her face?
In every way, clear and honest, both in expression and appearance.
Her character?
Excellent, I'm sure.
And don't you agree that such a girl deserves a husband?
Why, indeed, indeed.
You think she'd make someone a good wife?
I'm sure she would.
It's most important that she would look after the home properly.
Of course.
The one thing that worries me is that I hear she's not got a lot of money to bring to a marriage.
Yes, Father, but far more important to marry someone rich in character and looks.
Oh, yes, my boy, but there would certainly have to be a lot of that. To make up for a minimal bank account.
I'm sure there is.
Well, Cleont, I'm very happy to find us so much in agreement. The truth is, she seems so admirable that I am determined...
Oh, Father!
...to marry her myself as soon as it can be arranged.
What?
Why? Don't you think it's a good idea, after all?
You've decided
to marry Marianne.
You?
Yes, me. What's so dreadful about that?
I'm sorry, Father. Will you excuse me? I've come over all faint.
Oh, come along, boy. Cleont! Pull yourself together. Look, go to the kitchen, get yourself a good drink of water. I don't know, no resilience, these modern youngsters. Well, now, that's what I have decided for myself. And as for your brother, I've got a rich widow lined up for him, I heard about this morning. And I've decided that Monsieur Anselm would be the best husband for you.
Monsieur Anselm?
Yes. Rich, mature, very wealthy, not more than 50, has a lot of money, and they say he's got quite a bit put away.
Well, with regret, Father, I wasn't thinking of getting married just yet.
Oh, weren't you, daughter? Well, you better start thinking about it now.
But, Father, I'm sure I'm very indebted to Monsieur Anselm. But if it's all the same to you, I'd rather not, thank you.
Yes, you are indebted, to be sure. So much so that you are going to get married this very evening.
This evening?
That's what I said.
But I can't.
But you can.
Oh, Father, no.
Father, yes.
No.
Yes.
I'm afraid there's no persuading me.
We'll see about that.
I'd rather die.
Oh, don't come all that rubbish with me. And the effrontery of it, a girl speaking like that to a father.
Effrontery, Father. A father marrying his daughter off like that.
But you'll never find anyone better. Everyone agrees.
But, Father, no reasonable person would agree to a marriage of this kind.
Look, here's Valère. Oh. He's neutral. Let's ask his independent opinion.
Oh, yes, Father, let's ask Valère.
You'll agree to his judgment?
Yes, gladly, yes.
Ah, right. Valère, come here, Valère.
Monsieur Apergon, mademoiselle.
Valère. We want you to act as an umpire between us.
Well, there's no doubt that you are right, sir.
Oh, so you know what we're talking about.
No, sir, but I can't possibly imagine that you can be wrong.
I've just arranged my daughter to marry a rich gentleman, Monsieur Anselm, no less. And the hussy has the effrontery to tell me she won't have him. What do you think of that?
What do I think?
Yes. Oh, come on.
Well, sir, of course, as I said, I agree with you. Ah. And you must be right. But on the other hand, she's not exactly wrong, either.
Monsieur Anselm is an admirable choice. Noble, kind, intelligent, and very well off. And no children, alas, alive from his first marriage. Now, could she do better?
Well, I suppose not. But on the other hand, surely she's right not to rush things.
Yes.
I mean, a little while to see whether they can get along together, perhaps?
Nonsense! We can't not jump at a chance like this. And there's one more thing that is absolutely conclusive. Monsieur Anselm is ready to take her without a dowry.
Without a dowry?
Yes.
Well, there you are. There's nothing else to add, is there? That puts the lid on it, doesn't it? There's no answer to that, is there?
And a great saving for me.
Indeed. Another thing to consider. But you know, on the other hand, your daughter is right to state that marriage is nothing to be taken lightly. I mean, lifelong happiness is at stake.
Without a dowry.
Oh, you are right there. Quite right, sir. The deciding factor, of course. There is a certain difference in their ages, but could be rather dangerous.
Without a dowry.
Well, as I say, there's nothing more to be said. I mean, there's not many fathers who would rather consider their daughter's happiness than their own monetary gain, are there? There's something far more important to consider than the question of honour and happiness and love, isn't there?
Without a dowry.
Yes, that is exactly it. Without a dowry is the only important thing.
Was that a dog barking in the gun? Someone's after my money, I'll be bound. Now, don't move. I'll be back in a minute.
Oh, Valère, what are you saying?
Don't you see? It's the only way to get round him. Butter him up, agree with everything he says. It's no good trying to argue with him. He doesn't understand anything except his without a dowry.
Yes.
Oh, you'll have to pretend to agree, and we'll find a way to get out of the difficulty.
But the marriage tonight, don't forget.
Oh, surely there's some way of putting it off. I know. Pretend you're ill.
Oh, thank heavens.
That doesn't work. We'll have to elope. If you love me, Elise, be brave. Be brave and obey your father. And it's a question of without a dowry, you must be content with whoever you're given.
Well said, Valera.
Yes, sir. I felt it right to be a little stern with her and state what her duty ought to be.
Quite correct, yes. Yes, Valera, you keep a very close eye on her. Don't let her contradict you. I give you my authority to remind her of her duty to me.
Thank you, sir. I won't let her out of my sight.
I'm very much obliged to you.
These modern youngsters, you have to keep them on a tight rein.
Oh, very true.
Don't you worry, sir. I'll see that it all comes right.
Good. Now, I must go into the town for a while. I'll soon be back.
Yes, sir. And don't forget, Elise, you ought to be thanking heaven that you have a father like you do. What other father would sacrifice so much so that his daughter could marry a man who is willing to take her without a dowry?
Bravo, Valère! I'm really beginning to think you are starting to earn your keep. What a fine young man. What excellent judgment he has. He always agrees with me. Oh, such a comfort. Such a comfort.
Swift, where did you get to? Didn't I tell you to wait for me in the house?
Yes, Monsieur Cliant, I came and waited. But your father, the old so-and-so, chased me off with awful threats.
I see. Well, how are things going?
Eh?
Well, you know, the money.
Oh!
It's even more urgent now. I discover my father is none other than my rival for Marianne.
What? Your father's in love?
Yeah, apparently. And I only just about managed to hide the real truth as far as I'm concerned.
In love? Imagine that! What's he think he's playing at? Love doesn't mean anything to him. But anyway, sir, why don't you tell him you love the girl?
It was simply to give myself time. But what reply did you get from the moneylender?
Ah, well, sir, there's no denying that usurers are hard masters, and we have to put up with a lot if we must resort to third parties.
You mean that we haven't succeeded?
Oh, no, sir. The agent, Master Simon, has done his bit.
So I've got my 15,000 francs.
Yes, indeed, but on certain conditions. And these you'll have to agree to.
Did Master Simon tell you who the moneylender was?
No, I'm afraid not. He seems to want to keep himself anonymous as much as you do.
Oh?
It seems that he will want to meet you on neutral ground to find out from you face to face your background, your means, and your family. Well, I expect your father's name will sort things out anyway.
And there's always my mother's property, which she left in trust for me.
Oh, yeah. Here are a few notes the moneylender jotted down, and which Master Simon passed on to me concerning the transaction. Oh. Assuming that the lender is satisfied with all the sureties, and the borrower is an adult of good family and of suitable means, the deal will be carried out through a solicitor chosen by the lender so that the contract shall be properly drawn up.
Okay, so far.
The lender, being a fair-minded man, only intends to charge 5.5%.
5.5%? That's fair enough.
But, as the lender has himself to borrow part of the sum from another party at 20%, the borrower must himself pay this latter sum in addition to the former.
What? Well, so and so, that's more than 25%.
True enough.
Well, what do you suggest I do? I need the money, don't I? Well, what else?
Oh, no. Of the 15,000 francs required, the lender can only find 12,000. And of the rest, the borrower must accept articles in lieu, a list of which is appended.
And exactly what does that mean?
Well, here it is. First, a four-poster bed with striped drapery of olive and white, with six chairs of the same colour.
What?
All in excellent condition. Next, one canopy with Omar serge hangings and silk fringes.
And what am I supposed to do with that?
A tapestry representing the love of Gombo and Messiah.
Very useful, I'm sure.
More yet, sir. A brick furnace suitable for distilling homemade spirits.
Oh, this is too much.
One lute from Bologna with all its strings and only one or two missing.
Oh, wonderful.
Next, one draught board useful for games on a winter's evening. Next, one lizard 3.5 feet long stuffed with straw. Altogether worth 5,000 francs, but for the purpose of this deal, valued at 3,000.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, of course, draft boards, lutes, and 3.5 feet long stuffed lizards, they're just the sort of things one needs to get married with. I mean, she can play draughts on cold winter evenings. I can play the lute, and the lizard can listen. What a way to do business.
Yeah.
But you see, I need the money. What can I do but accept? He has me just where he wants me.
Yes, sir. I've heard of many good men, begging your pardon, starting their roads to ruin with a moneylender like that man.
Rather, we ought to say, with a father like mine.
Indeed, sir, so we might.
Let me have a look at that agreement again before we go back in.
Yes, Monsieur Arpegon. It's a young man who needs money. Very desperate he is, sir. And he'll do whatever you ask.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Be that as it may, Master Simon. But what about his means and his family?
I'm afraid I don't exactly know. And having seen him just once, I didn't have a chance to find out. Mm. But I'm arranging for you to meet him. Mind you, his family is supposed to be very well off. The mother is dead. And I have it on good authority that his father isn't reckoned to last more than 6 months.
Splendid! Well, that's something, Master Simon, that's something.
Of course.
Mm. Why, what's this, Monsieur Cleant? Here's Master Simon talking to your father.
Surely he hasn't told my father what I'm trying to do.
Why, Monsieur Cleant, you've come already. How did you know that the money lender lived here? Never mind. We can now get down to business.
What?
Monsieur Arpegon, I have the honor of presenting Monsieur Cleant, the gentleman who wishes to do business with you.
Cleant, whatever is all this?
Father, how could you stoop to such action?
Trying to ruin me with your confounded transactions.
Ruin you?
Yes.
25%. Father, words fail.
I don't know how you dare to face the world.
Face the world? Who's driving me to this situation?
I was only just complaining about your extravagance, and now you expect me to finance more of your fripperies. It's all my hard-earned money you're intending to fritter away, and you realize that?
Father, aren't you ashamed to see your son reduced to borrowing at all? Ah! All because of your unspeakable meanness.
Stop
piling your money up franc after franc, and now willing to grab even more from your own son.
How dare you? Out, out!
Father,
out of my house!
Father, I am not responsible for what may follow.
Yeah.
Master Simon and Aristide, come with me.
Out, I say out! This only serves as a warning to me to watch even more carefully. There's no knowing what will happen. Oh, if only I hadn't put it in the garden.
Monsieur!
I must go
Monsieur.
To the garden and see it's all right.
Monsieur!
What? Frosine! Just a minute. I'll be back directly. Aristide, are you still around?
Well, there's always something to do, sir. Well, well. So it turns out that he's the moneylender. Here, I wonder where the bed is, not to mention the loot. And the stuffed lizard. And his own private still. Well, I never did.
Arrowswift, it's you. What are you doing here?
Frazine, what are you doing here?
What I always do everywhere. Make myself useful and get what I can. Living off one's wits, I suppose you might call it. Some people have talents in one direction. Mine just happen to be in another.
Oh, so you've some business with the master then?
Yes, indeed. And I expect to get something even out of him.
Him? Heavens, that'll certainly be something.
But there are some things that only money can buy.
Well, forgive me, Frazine. But in that case, you don't know Monsieur Arpegon. A more inhuman man never lived.
Oh.
Hard and bitter, that's what he is. There is absolutely nothing that can extract money from him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, the word give just isn't in his dictionary. When he says goodbye, he doesn't give you his hand. He lends you it.
Oh. You don't understand. My business is to get round people. And I dare say I can even find a soft spot in your Monsieur Arpegon.
Oh, fond hope, I'm afraid. I challenge you to get through his hide in matters of money. You'd have to burst him open.
Ooh.
Oh, he's coming back. Here, hurting this time, I went.
Proceed. Oh, there you are, yes, promise. Oh, dear. Let me sit down. Well. Now, what news, Frazine?
Oh, Monsieur Arpegon, how well you are looking today.
Who, me?
I have never seen you looking younger. Oh. I know men of 25 who look older than you.
Well, I'm a good 60.
60? What 60? The flower of youth, the best years of one's life.
Oh, true, true. Even so, 20 years less wouldn't come amiss.
Oh, you joke, sir. What do you need 20 years for? Good for 100, I am sure.
Oh, really?
Of course. You show all the signs. Just stand up a minute.
Oh, master.
Oh, yes, sir. Now, between your eyes, I can see a very long lifeline.
Oh, you're an expert, then?
Oh, yes, indeed. May I see your hand? Oh. Goodness.
What?
What a long lifeline there, too.
Where?
Oh, can't you see? There, that line there.
Oh, wow. Well, what does that mean?
100, did I say? More like 120.
Is that possible?
Oh, they will have to knock you down to get rid of you. Oh. You will see your children and your grandchildren off.
Well, so much the better. But, Frisine, as I said, what news about... You know what?
Oh, need you ask? Have I ever failed? Marriages are my speciality. Oh, I could fix any man with any woman if I had a mind to. Oh, anyway, I have made approaches to the people in question. And her mother knows what your intentions are towards Marianne. How you have seen her in the street and at her window.
And her reply?
She agreed at once. And when I told her that you were marrying off your daughter this evening, she immediately suggested that her daughter marries you at the same time.
Oh, yes. It's true. Monsieur Anselm is coming tonight, and it would be most satisfactory if Marianne and her mother were here as well.
Quite right. The mother suggests that after lunch she comes and asks your daughter to come with her daughter to the fair.
Oh, yes, yes. I'll lend them my carriage. There, they can go in that.
Oh, very convenient. Yes. And then we can all come back to supper.
Oh, anyhow. And you have mentioned that I was rather hoping that the mother wouldn't neglect to set her daughter up with something of a dowry. Mm. Well, after all, you don't get married without expecting to get a little something out of it, do you?
Oh, my dear sir, this girl will bring you 12,000 francs a year.
12,000 a year, really?
Yes.
Splendid.
Firstly, she's very abstemious in matters of food and drink. Salads and cheese and milk and apples are what she's used to. Yeah. So you won't have to worry about elaborate meals and delicatessen and all that.
Yes, but
that will save you a good 3,000 francs a year, all in all. Yeah. And then she only likes simple clothes. Hasn't much time for jewelry and expensive furnishings such as most girls want. Yeah. Well, that's another 4,000 a year saved. Yeah. And next... She hasn't any time for gambling. That would be 5,000 a year saved. Mm. Altogether, I calculate that comes to the 12,000 I mentioned at the beginning.
But it isn't exactly hard cash, is it?
Well, of course it is. This sobriety and simplicity represent at the end of each year exactly that amount of hard cash we have stated.
I must say I find it rather funny to have a dowry consisting of all those things you're not going to spend. No. I want something I can see and count.
But I am sure there will be plenty of that as well. Oh. I have heard it mentioned that they have a little tucked away.
Well, I'll need to find out a little more about that. But, Fosine, there's something else that's worrying me.
Oh?
The girl is young, as you know, and youngsters generally prefer people their own age. I'm rather afraid that someone of my age might not be to her liking. There might be some difficulty there.
That's just where you're wrong.
Oh.
That's the special thing about her I was going to mention. She has an incredible dislike for young men. Oh. Old ones are what she likes.
Old ones?
Yes, old ones. Oh, if only you'd heard her. Young men drive her up the wall. But old men, especially with beards. Yours is lovely, by the way. The older the better. So don't go worrying about being 20 years younger. You might miss out.
Oh.
60 is the bare minimum for her. And... she likes to see glasses on a man's nose.
How remarkable.
Oh, there's more yet. What sort of pictures do you think she has in her room?
Mm-hmm.
Adonis, Paris, Apollo? Oh, not a bit. Saturn, old King Priam, old Nestor and the like.
Who would have believed it? But I have to agree. If I'd been a girl, I wouldn't have had any time for young men.
Oh, of course not. Especially today's variety. All short hair and long, curly moustaches. A fine bunch.
Ah, it's a real wonder that some women want them at all. Effete and spineless. No resilience, as I was saying only this morning to Cleon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good job he's not after a young lady. He wouldn't have a chance.
Oh, especially against a man like you. Now, in you, there's a real man who would not fall in love with you, Monsieur Rapagon. Oh,
do you really mean that?
Oh, of course. Oh. Oh, you really ought to have your portrait done. Mm. Now, just turn round.
Yes.
Walk a bit, yes. Straight and slim and lithe. No disabilities in you.
Oh, yes, I'm reasonably healthy. Apart from a bit of a cough sometimes.
Oh, a very suitable attribute, I am sure.
I suppose this Marianne hasn't seen me yet, has she?
No, not yet, but I have given her an excellent picture of you and detailed all the advantages that you will bring as a husband.
That's well done. Well... Thank you so much, Rosie. Now, if that's all...
Well, sir, there was just one thing more.
Oh?
There's a matter of a little lawsuit that I might just perhaps lose unless I had enough money to... So if you could see your way to... You must realize how marvelous she's going to find you. Mm. You dress so well, sir. She will faint with admiration on seeing you.
How nice.
About this lawsuit.
Oh.
You cannot imagine what it would mean if I lose just a little cash.
Oh.
Change the whole complexion.
I repeat, Rosine, I am most indebted to you. Now, may I show you out?
Sir, yes. Sir, I ask you directly, could you see your way to assisting me in my case?
Goodbye, Rosine, I'm very busy.
You will never see me in such a state again, I assure you.
Tell Marianne's mother that the carriage will be ready after lunch.
I wouldn't trouble you if I wasn't down on my back.
And be sure they have a good lunch first, because supper here is only a light meal.
Please, sir, I implore you, the pleasure that it would bring me would compensate.
No, even if you were. Listen, they're calling for me. Yes, come in. See you after lunch, perhaps.
Yes, I'll be
goodbye,
here after lunch.
Goodbye, Eugene. Yes,
the miserable old rogue. Miser!
Now, come along. You know I've got to get everything ready for the supper party tonight. Now, Dame Claudette, come over here.
Oh, yes, sir. Here I am, sir.
Ah, splendid. Ready for work.
Oh.
Now, you make sure that everything's well dusted.
Yes.
But mind you, don't rub too hard. I don't want the furniture worn out.
No, sir.
And another thing, during supper, you look after the dishes. Now, anything missing or broken, I'll stop it on your wages.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
Mm. Well, that's you. Now, Oatstalk.
Sir.
And you too, Hake.
Oh, yes, sir.
Now, your job is to rinse the glasses and pour the drinks. But mark you, no pushing the wine on people. Strictly for thirsty people only. And let them ask twice for it. And make sure you dilute everything well.
Shall we be taking off our aprons, sir?
Yes, but not till people come in. I don't want you wearing your clothes out.
Ah, well, you do know, don't you, sir, that one of my lapels has got a large oil stain on it from the lamp.
And me, sir, begging your pardon, sir, but my breeches has got a big hole in the back, sir. And should people see me, well, it's...
Oh, come along now. You've only got to walk along the wall like this, sideways. Nobody need even see your breeches, need they? As for you, Oatstalk, you hold your hat in front of you... Oil stain when you're serving. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, well, off you go.
Sir.
And you, Elise?
Yes, Father.
Keep an eye on what people eat.
Yes.
No extravagance now. And right now, go and get ready to go with Marianne to the fair. Do you hear?
Yes, Father.
Yes. And as for you, Cleont, you overdressed young fop. I'll forget that business just now, and so will you. Trying to rob his own father, indeed.
Rob father?
Enough. I said enough. And make sure you're respectful to your future stepmother. I know what youngsters like you tend to get up to. With young stepmothers, you maintain a proper respect. And welcome her when she comes later on today.
Well, Father, I can't exactly say that I find the idea of Marianne as a stepmother something that totally overjoys me. But I promise you that I'll give her a welcome.
Yes, well, make sure you do. And now, Valère?
Sir?
Come here. I shall probably need your assistance.
Yes, Monsieur Apagon.
Hey, James! James, come here. I purposely left you to last.
Peter, are you addressing me as cook or as coachman? As you know, sir, I'm both.
Yes, well, I want you both.
Yes, sir, but which first?
Cook.
Well, in that case, sir, I really ought to have my chef's hat on, oughtn't I, sir? I think I left it in the kitchen. Shall I go and look for it?
No, no, such nonsense. Come back.
Very good, sir.
Now, you know, of course, I'm giving a dinner party tonight.
Dinner party? Wonders will never cease. I don't think we've ever had one of those before.
No, and that's why I want to know what you intend to serve up.
Well, that depends on how much you're prepared to spend, sir.
Oh, spend, spend, that's all I ever hear from you. Spend, spend, spend. Must be the motto of everyone in this house.
I must say, sir, that I agree with you that that is an impertinent reply. Now, anyone can serve up a fine meal if he has money to spend, but when there isn't any, then it really needs a good cook, doesn't it, sir?
Very likely, Monsieur Valère, but bear in mind, I'm only half a cook.
That is exactly what I mean.
Oh, stop squabbling, you two. Now, I asked you to tell me what you intend to serve.
How many shall we be, sir?
Oh, 8 or 10. Say 8. We can always stretch the helpings a bit.
Of course we can.
Now, let me see. Soup, entrees.
What, both?
Roast.
What?
Vegetables, dessert.
No, stop! Hey, you'll eat me out of house and home.
Cheese.
Oh, no.
Now, Master James, this won't do. You can't have us overeating. That's bad for us, after all. Remember the old saying, eat to live, not live to eat.
God bless my soul, you get better every day, Valère. Live to eat, not eat to live. No, wait a minute. Not eat to how did it go again?
Eat to live, not live to eat.
Yes, that's it. Who was it said that?
I believe it was Molyneux, sir.
Really? I must meet that man one day. I think he and I see eye to eye. Now, back to dinner. I leave it to you, but no extravagance, mind. And I'm going to ask you, Valère, to keep an eye on him.
Yes, sir.
Now, Master James, the carriage needs cleaning.
Yeah. Oh, you're addressing me as coachman now, are you, sir?
Oh, yes. As I said, the carriage needs cleaning. And harness up the horses and get ready to drive to the fair.
Yes, sir. Well, sir, the horses.
Yes?
You see, I don't think they would make it.
Oh.
It's not that I'm saying they're ill, because they're not. But they're not exactly in the best of condition. You see, they can't put on weight with the limited feed they have. Only this morning I said to the cook, they're so thin that they look more like shadows than the real thing.
Thin? They can't get thin. They never go out.
Yes, sir, true. But that doesn't mean that they need not get fed. I must say, sir, that it makes my heart bleed to see them suffer like they do. I even give them some of my own food each day. I'm so fond of them.
But, James, they've only got to go to the fair.
Yes, sir, and they won't make it. It's no good asking them to pull a carriage when they can't even pull themselves.
Look, sir, if he won't touch them, I'll ask our neighbour Picard to drive them. Anyway, James ought to stay here and do the supper.
Fair enough. If they're going to die, I'd rather someone else takes the responsibility.
Of course, only Master James would look at it that way.
Of course, only Monsieur Valère would try and score points on a simple thing like this.
Oh, now then, you two.
It's no good, sir. I've got to make myself quite clear and say that I can't stand flatterers. All this talk about saving this and saving that which we hear from some of your servants, mentioning no names, of course, is only a device to flatter you, sir. As for myself, you know, of course, sir, that my feelings towards you are entirely sincere and respectful. Indeed, apart from our little disagreement over the horses and the dinner, my esteem for you is unrivaled.
Well, of all the hypocrites...
Well, what about you?
James, stop. Now, James, I'm most pleased to hear what you have to say, but I won't have you two fighting.
It's all very well.
You might break something, and that costs money. Anyway, go on with your duties while I go and tidy myself up a bit. Little Marianne is coming round to meet my daughter before they go to the fair. Perhaps a quick look in the garden first.
James, you are the brassiest-faced old hypocrite I have ever met.
And you, what about you, Valère? I've seen your servile, simpering way, you lickspot. Oh, you make me want to... Oh.
Now, look here, any more of that, and I'll black your eyes.
Oh, yeah, you...
And freshen up that great long nose of yours.
Just you watch it, you, with your fancy ears and la-di-da behavior. Just remember who I am.
Oh, yes, I know who you are. Half cook, half coachman, and not fit to be either.
Why, you little... James!
James!
Stop it,
James!
Oh,
James!
James! If you can spare a moment, tell your master I'm here with Miss Marianne.
Oh. Why, you here for a thing?
Oh,
I can see that supper is going to be an extraordinary meal. Yeah. Oh, pardon, miss. You must be the future mistress here. Excuse me, I'll go and fetch the master.
This is an awful place. Rosine, I really don't think I can survive this evening. And if this place is where I'm expected to live, I dread to meet the master. He can't be like you say.
Now, now, Marianne. Monsieur Apagon will send you head over heels with joy. I think the real trouble is that young man, whoever he is, who you were seeing so much of last week. But when you see Monsieur Apagon, you'll forget you ever knew him.
But how can I forget him? He opened his heart and expressed his undying love for me. My own heart went out to him. And then hardly a day later, you come and see my mother over this Monsieur Apagon. And before I know where I am, I'm being married off to some broken-down old widower.
No, no, no.
I know a girl, especially when she's as poor as I am, can't afford to be choosy. But one does expect a day or two's notice before she's forced to move into a strange house.
Marianne.
And they tell that Monsieur Apagon has a grown-up son and that he doesn't approve of his father's choice at all. I feel sure that he will make my life unbearable.
Now, now, my dear. You don't know what you're talking about. Monsieur Apagon can't possibly have many years to go. And then you'll be rich and can marry some handsome young man. Anyone you choose, in fact.
Well, that's a nice thing, I'm sure, to talk about one's husband's death on the wedding day. You know, Frosine, I like you less and less the more I see of you.
Oh, now, now, none of your lip. And pull yourself together. Here he comes now.
Rosine, what are you bringing me to?
The beautiful Marianne. I trust the spectacles are to your taste. I took the trouble to find out your little likes and dislikes. And you know my little star. We wear glasses, don't we, to see the stars clearly? And you are the star of all the stars. Rosine.
Yes, monsieur.
What's the matter? She just stands there, gaping at me.
Yes, of course, sir. All girls do that when they're in love.
Oh, yes, of course they do. I'd almost forgotten. I felt all my fires coming alight again. You know, I feel 20 years younger. Oh, dear, I mustn't say that in front of her, must I? Oh, look, here's my daughter, Elise, to say how do you do.
How do you do, Marianne? Elise. Relieved to find someone of my own age.
What did she say?
Now, now, Monsieur Apagon, you didn't hear properly. Mm. The young lady said that she was relieved that she was able to find someone of your age.
Oh, you sure? But anyway, my little Rosebud, before you go to the fair with my daughter, you must meet my son. At least I'd rather you didn't. He and I haven't been hitting it off too well lately. But he'll have to get used to his new stepmother. And then we can show you the house. Cléante?
Rosie, I'm not going through with this.
Cléante! Ah, there you are.
Cléante, you! Oh, no, that puts an end to it.
Good afternoon, Mademoiselle Marianne. This is a surprise I certainly wasn't expecting. At least not until since this morning. I am sure you won't worry my father by delaying your departure for the fair in asking me too many questions. About the house, that is.
No. No, of course not. Indeed, I haven't said how delighted I am to meet you this afternoon.
Indeed, a pleasure. But I must tell you what I am sure you've already heard. That I am entirely against this marriage.
What's that?
I have never yet met a situation where a young girl has successfully married into a house with grown-up children still around.
Cléante.
Father, you won't like this, but my respect for Mademoiselle Marianne makes me entirely opposed to her suffering at the hands of such jealous children as my sister and myself.
Indeed.
We cannot easily allow our father's affection to turn from ourselves to someone else.
Cléante, hold your tongue.
No, Monsieur Apollon, let him have his say. My own sentiments are very similar.
What?
I cannot allow myself to come between such an affectionate father and his affectionate children. No, Cléante. If you will not accept me as a stepmother, I will not allow your father to make me one.
Oh, Marianne, Marianne, I told Rosine to warn you against him. Don't listen to him. He's only a selfish hypocrite, father. Affection. You should have heard him just now. Anyway, my darling, remember, your mother has given consent. We can't disappoint her now.
Not at all, monsieur. I find your son's objections entirely reasonable.
Oh.
I am in no way offended by his sentiments. Indeed, his forthright behavior increases my respect for him.
Well, my little Violet, it's very good of you to be so courteous to such a good-for-nothing. But I must ask you to believe that his feelings will be more amenable to you after the wedding.
I assure you, Father, my feelings are unchangeable.
Oh, what nonsense.
Father, you would not wish me to lie, would you, over my sentiments?
Clear up, enough. Have you nothing polite to say to Mademoiselle Marianne at all?
Very well, sir, if you insist. May I put myself in your shoes? And say I have never seen such a charming young lady as Mademoiselle Marianne here. And speaking for my father, to be your husband would be the highest joy. What riches you are to a man's heart. To conquer your heart would be the greatest triumph a man could have.
They ought to remember this is your future stepmother.
I merely voice aloud what must surely be your own thought.
Yes, then kindly let me say them myself. Now come along, let's sit down. Cleon, a chair for my little Maria.
Yes,
sir. And for you, Mistress Rosine.
Monsieur Pagon, we really ought to be getting along to the fair. Don't forget that there will be a lot to do tonight.
Oh, yes, yes, you're quite right. Yes, come along. I'll send for the coach. Now, you will excuse me, won't you, if we don't offer you a snack before you go. There will, of course, be supper tonight. After the marriage.
Father, I took the liberty of having some oranges sent so that we could offer Marianne something before she at least left.
And I'm sure Mademoiselle Marianne will not find them necessary.
No, no.
Oh, come along. No? Oh, well. Tell me, Marianne.
Mademoiselle Marianne, if you please.
Have you ever seen such a fine diamond as my father is wearing on his finger?
To be sure, I haven't.
Look at it closer, then.
There is no doubt that it's a beauty. Quite dazzling.
Yes, and it's made for hands as delicate as yours. In fact, my father intends it as a present for you.
Do I?
Yes, Father, you told me it was to show her, in tangible form, your love for her. You remember, I'm sure.
Yes, but
and she is delighted to accept, isn't she?
I'm sure.
So, here it is.
Cleont!
Monsieur Apergon is too kind.
Yes, I am, Cleont, you little...
Oh, Father, how much you're in love. You seem a little faint. Oh, please excuse him, Marianne. It's your beauty, you know. He can't really take it.
But I really can't accept.
Oh, good, you can't.
Oh, Marianne, don't be modest.
Cleont, he doesn't want it.
Look how upset my father is. You must accept it, if only to calm him down.
Well, if only to keep the peace, I'll accept it, but...
Sir?
What do you want, Oakstock?
There's a man outside. It's about money.
Send him away.
But, sir, he owes you money.
Oh, show him in. Don't keep him waiting. No, I'll come myself. Oh, hate you, great oak. Get out of the way.
Sir, I've never seen you in such a hurry.
Father, you're not hurt, are you?
You're in the pay of my debtor's hake. I'll wager to break my neck.
But I'm sure I'm sorry, sir, but I've never seen you so fast, like I said. Anyway, sir, I've come to tell you that both the horses are lame.
We'll get them straight round to the blacksmith.
Yes, and while they're being shod, allow me to entertain Mademoiselle Marianne in here.
Oh, very well. Well, just while I go and collect from the man outside. Mind you, don't waste anything. We can sell back any of those oranges at a good price. Here, I'm coming.
Okay.
Marianne. Now, while he's got a moment, we must try and work out something to stop these disastrous events before it's too late.
Marianne, my dear, Cleont has told me all about you and how much you're both in love. If only there was some way I could help you.
Elise, I'm most grateful for your kind concern on my behalf. My love for your brother includes yourself. Please believe that.
Well, well, well. So it seems that Monsieur Cleont is the young man you were so taken with. This gets more and more complicated each minute. But why didn't you tell me? We might have been able to do something.
I must confess that at the moment it all looks like some evil plot that has enmeshed us all. Marianne, what are we going to do?
I don't know. My position legally is quite powerless. I'm responsible to my mother, and she has entered an agreement with your father. Mm. It's not that there's any animosity between us. I love my mother very dearly, and she has always been wonderful to me. But when a rich suitor comes along in our financial state, what are we to do? Cleont, we must tell her the truth. Huh? I must get back to see her before tonight, and... you must come, too.
Well, come on, Fuzine. You're half responsible for all this.
Oh, dear.
Do you intend to bring your subtle, backhanded skill to bear on this situation? Or are you going to see your part through to the end?
I don't know, I'm sure. There's no denying that the sight of two young people so much in love, it always touches me on a soft spot.
quite takes me back, it does.
Yes, my dears. I'll help you if I can.
Well, Fuzzy, what do you suggest?
I think, first of all, we've got to get him to find you, Marianne, distinctly unattractive.
What?
Well, not easy.
Oh, I agree. So how? Supposing we found some other woman, rich this time, to turn his heart.
But where?
Oh, it needn't be someone genuine, just an old trickster like me, who could just keep his affections long enough to get him to release Marianne to Cléante here without having to actually marry him.
Yes.
She'd have to pretend to be madly in love with him, and provided she seemed genuine enough, I don't think she'd have much difficulty in winning him over. After all, it's riches that count with him. And that's the one thing that Marianne hasn't got.
Rosine, is this possible?
It might be, if nothing else turns up.
Rosine, if you carry this through, I'll be so eternally grateful to you.
Pleasure.
But first, Marianne, your mother. Now, we must try and slip away before my father comes back.
I think it best if I go alone. You follow when you can. Wish me luck, Cléante.
Oh, Marianne.
My son, kissing his future stepmother. Do I begin to smell a rat?
Oh, it's Father, you're too late.
The carriage is ready. You can go now.
May I have the honor of driving them, Father, since you can't go yourself?
No, you stay here. Elise, you and Marianne can go by yourselves with Rosine. Off you go now, yes. I'll see you soon, Marianne. Well, my boy, forgetting that she's going to be your stepmother, how do you find her?
Find her?
Yes, her looks, her figure, manner.
Oh, so-so.
Only so-so.
If I must be frank, I don't like her at all.
Oh?
She looks a hussy.
Oh, dear.
No figure, plain features, and very coarse manners. Oh. Oh, but don't take this the wrong way, Father. I'd be willing to have her as a stepmother as much as any other.
Oh, but you were just saying...
I was merely addressing a few sweet nothings to her on your behalf, Father.
Ah. So I can take it, then, that you don't find her attractive?
No, I don't.
Oh, dear, what a pity. You see, I was thinking. I'm old, as you know. I'm not so sure it's a good idea to saddle a young girl like that with a man my age. In fact, had it not been for what you've just been saying, I had more or less decided to give her over to you.
What?
I was thinking of letting you marry her yourself.
Me?
Yes, you.
Well, Father, well, I hardly know what to say.
Oh?
When I said that I didn't like her...
Yeah.
Well, if you insist, Father,
Oh, no, insist, no, I wouldn't do that, would I?
I suppose I could try and like her.
No, I'm not going to force you.
I have heard it said that love often follows on.
No, I'm not going to let you have an unhappy marriage... just to please me. If you had felt otherwise, things might have been different, but... No, I'll marry her myself, as I first intended.
Father, I must tell you the truth, since things have come to a head. The truth is that Marianne and I are in love. And have been for some little while, ever since we first met. If you hadn't dropped your little bombshell this morning, I would have asked you for her myself today.
Have you been seeing each other?
Yes.
Often?
As often as possible.
And she loves you, you say?
She does. Both she and her mother received my entreaties with wonderful kindness.
I see. Well, I'll tell you what I have decided then, now that I've got you to admit exactly what's been going on between you. You must forget her. You must relinquish all claim to her and resign yourself to seeing her as your stepmother. And you will marry the person I say.
I see. So it's all been a nasty little trick, has it? Well, let me tell you, whatever happens, I shall not cease to love that girl.
Indeed.
And she will never cease to love me.
Oh?
And don't you be too hasty about your own plans.
You may find her mother has taken a different line when she comes tonight. Mm-hmm. We're not entirely without our own resources.
You dare to defy me, defy your own father?
Yes, I do. In matters such as this, I have no hesitation in stating such out loud.
Out, out, for the second time today, out. Father, I'll beat you black and blue.
I'm saying.
You are not having Marianne.
And neither are you.
Oh, where's my stick? Where's my stick?
It's not one, but it's another.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, please.
Out,
please.
Have it a week.
Sir, will you keep out of the way?
It grieves me to see you like this. Stand aside, please, stand aside. Now, what can it be?
James, sir. Tell my son that I am his father.
But of course you are, sir.
James, listen, listen. As you know, I intend to marry Marianne this evening. And now my son sets himself up as my rival. Oh,
very wrong, sir.
How dare he oppose me?
How dare he indeed, sir. Just lead him to me, sir. Now, what is the matter, Monsieur Cléon? Listen to me, James. Marianne and I have been in love for some time. And now my father comes and interferes with his fatuous plan to marry her himself. Oh, most vexing, sir. I have every sympathy.
Marry at his age? It's ridiculous. Love is for young people.
Yeah. One moment, sir.
Well.
Your son is very upset, sir, and regrets very much the little disagreement just now. Yeah. Indeed, he would like to make amends and says that he intends to show you the respect he owes you.
So I should hope. Yes. Now, tell him he can marry whom he likes, yes, apart from Marianne.
Apart from Marianne.
All right, sir.
Your father has relented a little, and he apologizes for the scene just now. It's just that he objects to your hot temper. He is prepared to respect your wishes, provided you show him proper respect suitable to a father.
For Marianne, anything. For her, my filial duty will know no bounds.
Yes, he agrees. In fact, he's very happy.
Oh, splendid. Oh, James, I think you're earning your keep.
Oh, yes, isn't it? Your father is very happy.
And so am I.
So am I, James. Ah, well, then, gentlemen, please make it up personally. It grieves me so to see my masters at odds.
We are eternally grateful to you, James. Yes, James, you can rely on me not to forget this. Well, leave us alone now.
Yes, of course, sir.
Please forgive me, Father. I apologize for my anger.
Oh, there. Don't mention it. Don't mention it.
I am truly sorry.
And I am delighted to see you in your right mind again.
I am eternally grateful for your kindness.
And I am glad to see you returning to your proper duty.
You don't hold it against me?
No, of course not.
My gratitude is unbounded, Father.
Oh, don't hesitate to ask me for anything in the future, my dear Cléon.
Oh, I have enough. Now I have my Marianne.
Ah, what?
I said I don't need anything else. Now I have my Marianne.
Your Marianne?
Yes.
Yours?
So I understand.
But you said you'd give it up.
Give it up?
Yes.
I did not.
You did?
But, Father, you said...
I said nothing of the kind.
So we're back to square one.
Take that girl right out of your mind.
Never.
I disown you.
All right, disown me then.
Oh, that fellow James, where did he get to? Just wait till I get my hands on him. I'll wring his neck.
Well, at least that's one thing we agree on.
James! James!
I've been watching your father rushing in and out the garden all day. And then talking to Frazine just now, it became obvious.
What?
Behind the rhododendron, sir. And then I heard you and your father fighting and arguing just now. And I thought to myself, I'd better do some digging. And look what I dug up.
Yes,
This may be the very thing to save the day. Come on, away from here as fast as we can.
Right, sir.
Please! Ah, please! Stop, please! Police! Please! Ah! Heaven, did you hear my money? My money! It's gone! Where should I start? Where will it end? Here. Or there. Or there. Or behind here. The curtain. He's behind the curtain. I'll get you, you devil. Now, somebody up. Ah, gotcha! Now I've got you, Commander D! Me. I've arrested myself. Oh, my head. I'm going out of my mind. I'm going mad. Oh, my poor money. They've taken you, my joy, my love, my treasure. It's all up. There's nothing left now. It's all over. Dead and buried. Nothing left now, my beloved. Gone. Oh, for the love of heaven, please don't leave me like this. What's that? Who's there? Why did I waste time on that scoundrel, Cleont, and James and the others? They're all in it. I'll have them all rounded up. Every man, jack of them. And the women, too. And you. What about you out there? Do you know anything? Or are you all in it, too? No. You're not on my side either. You just think it's a big joke. That's it. You're all in it together. You're all against me. Police, troops, round them up and bring a gallows as well. We'll hang all of them. And if I still haven't found my money, I'll hang myself.
Yes, Monsieur Harpagon. I think I know my own business, thank you. This isn't the first case of theft I've had to deal with, and I've had more people hung than I care to remember.
Yes, well, you're not the only attorney, I'll have you know. And if you don't find my money for me, I'll have the law on you.
Yes, sir. Now, I must have all the relevant details. Now, you were saying that in this cash box there was...
10,000 crowns.
10,000?
10,000.
It's more serious than I thought.
Oh, there can't be a punishment harsh enough for such a man. Is nothing sacred.
And how was the money made up?
Gold franc pieces, for the most part.
Now, sir, whom do you suspect?
Everybody! Arrest the whole town!
I think, sir, it would be better not to alarm everyone. Rather, I feel we ought to seek out a few clues, after which we may reasonably expect to recover the stolen money.
Hang him, draw him, then quarter him.
James! You've caught him! You've caught the thief!
Thief, sir?
Yes.
No, I'm thinking about the pig I'm preparing for supper tonight.
Pig! There are far more important things to worry about now. This gentleman has something to say to you.
Just a few questions, sir. Nothing to get alarmed about.
Is this man coming to supper as well, sir?
Oh, no, don't be silly.
Don't hide anything.
I've no intention of doing anything of the kind. I was just coming to make a confession.
I should hope so, too.
The fact is, sir, that I must confess that on the allowance you made, the meal tonight won't be quite what I was hoping.
Oh, you fool! I'm not interested in the supper. Where have you put the money you've stolen?
Someone's stolen your money.
Yes, curse you. Where is it? I'll have you hung if you don't tell me.
Gently, sir. Please, please, let me handle this. Now, you have a very honest face. I can see that. And I'm sure we shan't have to resort to hanging to find out where the money is.
Why not?
Now, tell us where it is or who took it. And I'm sure your master will reward you. Surely you must hear everything that's going on here.
Now's my chance to get even.
What are you muttering about?
Come along, my man. Out with it.
Well, sir, since you insist, I must tell you. Valère.
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 The rogue, and he seemed to be the only one to agree with me.
The rogue?
Oh, how do you know?
Because I know.
I must insist on concrete evidence.
You saw him near where my money was hidden?
Yes. Yeah, where was the money hidden?
In the garden.
Exactly. I saw him in the garden. Ah. And what was the money hidden in, sir?
In a cash box.
That's right. I saw him with a cash box.
How do you know it was mine? What was it like?
What was it like?
Yes.
Like a cash box.
Without doubt. Hmm? But describe it.
Large?
Mine was quite small.
Small, rather. I was referring to what it contained, of course.
What colour?
Colour.
Yes.
What do you call it?
What do you call it?
Reddish.
No, grey.
That's it, reddish grey, that's what I mean.
Yes, that's it, reddish grey. That's the word, no doubt. You're writing all this down, aren't you? Oh, heaven, who can I trust now?
Yeah, oh, here's Valère, sir. You won't tell him I told you, will you? In fact, I think I'll just get back to the supper, if you don't mind.
Sir?
Come in here, Valère. Come and confess. Confess that you are the blackest criminal that ever walked this earth.
Sir?
How can you stand there, not even blushing?
Criminal?
Yes, criminal. As if you didn't know. Don't try and hide it. Everyone knows all about it. It's all out now. It's all out. How could you betray me so? How could you come here just to take advantage of me? I would never believe it. Never. Come on. Confess.
Well, sir, I won't try and deceive you any further, since it all seems to be out now. I was intending to speak to you about this, sir, at a more favorable moment. But since now seems the time, please listen carefully and don't get too angry, please, sir.
Don't get too angry, you infamous wretch!
Sir, I don't deserve those names. It's true that I have offended you. But I believe that you will be able to see your way to forgiving me.
Forgiving you? After a dastardly deed like this?
But please, sir, don't get angry. When you hear, you will see that things aren't as bad as they look.
Not as bad as they look! I'll string you up from the chimney pot, you see if I won't!
Sir, I promise you will get back double what I have taken.
I have every intention of doing so.
Everything will be fully restored.
Oh, what led you to do it?
You may well ask.
Yes, I am. I'm asking.
Love.
Love?
Yes, sir. Love.
Love my foot. Lust. Lust for my money!
No, sir. Riches don't tempt me. I have no aims on your property, provided I can keep what I have.
Keep? Keep? You keep nothing? What insolence! What nerve, you thief!
No, sir, not a thief. Don't call me that.
I'll call you what you are. My treasure. Oh, my treasure.
Yes, a treasure. I'll not deny that. The most precious of all, I agree. But you haven't lost your treasure, even though I may say my treasure now. Please, sir, do not separate us.
I'll do exactly that.
Death alone can separate us.
You've had your eye on my money all the time.
No, sir, my motives are entirely honorable.
Oh, doubtless. It was done with the highest moral aims. Well, my aims for you were equally high. Strung up high.
I'm at your disposal, sir. I'm ready to suffer for what I have done. And I must make it quite clear that I am entirely to blame. Your daughter is in no way guilty.
I should hope not, indeed. I wouldn't expect it to be involved at all. Don't try and avoid the issue. Now, where have you put my treasure?
Your treasure is still here, at home.
You haven't interfered in any way, have you?
Indeed not, sir. My passion is entirely pure and honorable.
Passion?
I'd rather die than lay a false finger. To look is enough for me. No criminal thoughts have crossed my mind.
He talks about my treasure like a lover.
Dame Claudette, sir, will bear witness to all this. She knows all about it.
My housekeeper? Is she in this too?
Yes, sir. She was witness to the understanding that your daughter and I have entered into.
My daughter? Whatever are you talking about?
I must assure you that she adopted the most suitable modesty before my entreaties.
Modesty, what are you on about?
Elisa, only yesterday did I persuade her to become engaged to me.
My daughter? Engaged? To whom?
To me, sir.
Disaster upon disaster!
I'd better get this down, too.
Agony upon agony, utter ruination. Oh, you seducer, you kidnapper, snatcher, take him away.
Sir, I must beg you not to use such names.
Oh, my treasure, my cash box. Why, the very hussy yourself. With Marianne and Rosine. Elise, come here.
Yes, Father?
Is this how you behave? After all your upbringing, you are utterly unworthy to be the daughter of a father like me. You give yourself to some scoundrel without my permission. So you want to be together, do you? Well, you can be together. Inside four walls, or better still, on a gallows.
Sir, please, sir, don't get so worked up. Please, let me tell you the whole story.
Gallows, did I? No. Nothing less than a stake for you.
Oh, now, Father. Father, I beg you, please don't say such frightful things.
Why not?
Oh, Father, if only you could see your way to calming your anger a little. Just for a moment. You must let us convince you that things are not as they seem at first sight. I'm sure you wouldn't find it so terrible that I have promised myself to Valère. If you knew that had it not been for him, I wouldn't be here now. He was the one who rescued me from the shipwreck. You owe him my life.
Owe him?
Yes.
I owe him nothing. And after what he's done, I'd have been better off if he'd let you drown.
Oh, Father!
There.
You don't mean such things.
Yes, I do. Oh. Attorney, do your duty.
Yes, sir.
Arrest these people.
Monsieur Arpagon, sir. Monsieur Anselm is here to see you, sir.
Whatever is all this?
Oh, Monsieur Anselm, you haven't exactly arrived at a happy time for your wedding with my daughter. If that is, it ever takes place. Oh, Monsieur Anselm, I've been overtaken by two disasters today. I can't decide which is the worst. And all the work of one man, that villain, who comes into my home as a servant with the prime intention of stealing my money and eloping with my daughter.
Sir, I keep telling you, I'm not interested in your money.
Your money has nothing to do with us,
and
Father.
What? You may well look surprised, Monsieur Anselm. A solemn engagement signed, sealed, and delivered the girl you came to marry tonight. I suggest you join with me in getting your rights under the law.
Well, Arpagon, I wasn't intending to marry anyone by force or tear apart two hearts promised to each other. But, like you, I'd certainly like to get to the bottom of this.
Well, there's the attorney. He tells me he knows his business.
I do, sir.
Now come along, my man, and do your duty. Arrest them both.
But, sir, what crime is it to be in love?
And, sir, if you would only allow me to tell you the whole story.
Story? You're full of stories. The only story I know is that everyone, yes, everyone is a thief and a liar. You can't trust anyone high or low.
Enough. Let me tell you, sir, that anyone in Naples will tell you who I am.
Just a moment. Naples? Now, you be careful, young man. You're speaking to a man who knows Naples as well as he knows this city. Any fabrication will be easily seen through.
In that case, you will know Signor Tomas Alborsi.
Signor? Well, indeed I know him. Few people know him better.
Oh, perhaps he knows where my cash box is.
Yes, well, of that, I'm sure he doesn't. Go on, young man.
Well, sir, he was my father.
Ah, your father?
Yes.
Now, pay attention, young man. You'd better think of something a good deal better than that.
It's true, and I can prove it.
I'll believe that when I see it. Now, let me tell you that the man you call your father perished 16 years ago at sea with his wife and children while fleeing from disturbances in Naples where they were living exiled from France.
Yes. And let me tell you that the son, aged 7, and one servant were rescued by a Spanish ship. And that son is before you now. The Spanish captain brought me up as his own son. And I served as a soldier when I was old enough. Then, having learnt that my father was believed saved from the wreck, I set out for France. Only to be shipwrecked again. This time with Monsieur Arpagon's son and daughter, similarly journeying back to France after a year in Spain. Elise and I fell in love. And learning of the dreadful home she has to live in, I resolved to come here as a servant till I could persuade her to leave.
Valère.
Meanwhile, I have sent others to continue the search for my father.
Young man, what proof can you furnish?
The Spanish captain is alive and well. There is this ring.
And this bracelet is my mother's. And there is our old servant who is working elsewhere in the city.
Anything seems possible after the other events of today. But I hardly dare believe my ears now. Valère?
Yes, Marianne?
You must be my brother.
I beg your pardon, Marianne.
Yes. This crazy household seems a mirror of the crazy world outside. My mother will hardly survive the news. We weren't drowned, as everyone thought, 16 years ago. We were picked up by a trading vessel, and on going back to Naples, we found no trace of our family, so we set out to seek our relations in France again. And finding none, we have spent the last 6 years eking out a living as dressmakers in Paris, as you well know by now.
Oh, a crazy world indeed. Valère, Marianne, my son, my daughter.
Oh, really, this is too much.
Father.
Then you are Signor Thomas Albusi.
Yes, I am Signor Thomas Albusi. Not drowned either. And only now, after 16 years' loneliness, finally decided to seek a wife to comfort the sorrows of fast approaching old age. So, under the name of Anselm, I entered an agreement with your father, Elise, to take you as my wife. But even if the law did not forbid me a second wife while my first still lives, I shall not stand between you and Valère.
Just a minute. Monsieur Anselm, you mean Valère is your son?
Yes, Apagon, yes, my long-lost son.
Then in that case, you can pay me the 10,000 crowns he's stolen from me.
He's stolen from you?
That's right.
But who even suggested that?
Master James.
Master James did what?
Well, now, I think I'll just go and see how that pig's getting on.
No, not so fast, James. Attorney, you wrote it all down, didn't you?
But why even would I be capable?
Capable or not, I intend to get my cash box back.
And so you shall, Father. So you shall.
What?
I know exactly where it is, and on condition that I may marry Marianne, you shall be told where it's been hidden.
Oh, where is it, Cleon?
Now,
oh, where,
Father,
where, where?
Don't get worked up. It's quite safe.
Oh, please.
I give you my word. Now, you must choose, Father. Will it be Marianne or your cash box?
Oh, what? Is it all there? The whole 10,000 crowns?
It hasn't been opened.
Oh.
Father, I have just returned from Marianne's mother, who gives her daughter free choice between us.
Oh, Cléante, if only it were a matter of her permission alone. But now I find my father is alive and standing before you.
Your father?
He must decide now. Father, do not force me after so much.
Marianne, my child, and Cléante.
Sir.
I won't come between you. Ah, Pagon, surely you must see that a girl will choose the son rather than the father, huh?
No.
Now, don't spoil this happy reunion by going through with your original intentions.
Oh, well, I must see my cash box first.
Father, you will have it back within the hour. Adam Swift has had instructions. It's a promise.
You realize, Monsieur Anselm, don't you, that I'm a poor man. I shan't be able to provide any money for my children.
Oh, I don't think that need worry us.
Oh, so you'll pay for both weddings?
Yes, yes. There, now, does that satisfy you?
Well, you must have me a new shipmate.
Of course. Harpagon, anything you like.
Just one moment, sir. Before you all go off and enjoy yourselves, is the matter of my fee.
Oh, we shan't be needing you now. You can go.
But, gentlemen, my time has been taken up. I am not at your beck and call.
Well, if you want something to do, you can string up Master James.
Well, I never did. Valère lies his head off and wins the daughter, and I get hung. Perhaps you could delay till after dinner, sir. That is, if you want any.
You'll have to let him off if you want any supper. Right?
Will you pay the attorney, then?
Yes, yes, all right. Now then, everyone, let's go and make ready for the wedding. Huh? Marianne, come along. So much joy in so silly.
Hey, just a minute. Where are you all going? Now, wait a minute. Now, what about my cash box? Oh, Cléon, you promised!
Monsieur Cléon, what you going to do with this?
Arrow Swift?
Hey!
Oh, my treasure! Oh, my love! Oh, let me hold you. Oh, man. Oh, my love. Come with me, let me hold you. You're so heavy. So deliciously heavy. There, my love, come here. see it on my lap. Oh, have I violated you? Oh, my love, let me look. Let me look at you. Let me see. Let me see. The key. The key. Let me put it in. Oh, my love. Oh, my God.